Hello, and welcome to OMP Tech Talk. Today, we are talking about sustainability, and more specifically about sustainability in supply chain planning, also called green planning. Now, what does that mean? Green planning considers the environmental impact of supply chain plans as a major factor to be considered during the planning process. This means that sustainability data and KPIs are incorporated and that the plans are optimized for sustainability. My name is Flo, Senior Business Development Consultant at OMP and your host for this episode. Today, we are speaking with Ioana Simon, part of OMP's Sustainability Network, a network that investigates how OMP can help customers plan more sustainably and promote green planning as a way to drive environmental efforts. And that brings me to my first question for Ioana. Where did the initiative for the Sustainability Network come from?
OMP is perfectly situated to help with regards to sustainability. Because I think it is, it's a very, very challenging thing for the industry to adapt. It has the trust of a lot of customers, which is great. And because of that, OMP can also kind of help in guiding customers or helping out customers in this new frontier, which is kind of how do we shape supply chains with regards to climate change and with the impact that they're having on the environment. And that's how we started the initiative. And we decided to first kind of look at where are our customers? What do our customers need with this? And what is it that they expect from us, OMP, or from a planning system like OMP? And where can we help?
I suppose that both the drive for green planning and its potential very much depend on the type of industry. Which industries do you think are the prime candidates for green planning?
With regards to the role of industry and in general, also supply chain is really, really big. So if, for example, for the average consumer goods business, there was actually a study done by McKinsey that said that over 90% of its greenhouse gas emissions actually comes from its supply chain. So if a business wants to lower their environmental impact, the place to look is the supply chain. Also, the industries that we're working with have been under a lot of public scrutiny with regards to their carbon footprint, for example, the metals industry, the chemical industry. And we can see that in the different industries that our customers are in, the response to climate change is very different, or the awareness of it as well. For example, in the chemicals industry, in the metals industry, they've been under a lot of public scrutiny also for a very long time. So because of that, it is in the forefront also of their business. And they are seriously looking into how they can restructure their business, what they can do in their supply chains to really improve their carbon footprint. While for some other industries, it might be less in the foreground. So for example, in the chemical industry, there's strict governmental regulations, there's consumer demand that's really looking in on them. There's also community. So for example, what we're seeing a lot actually is a big driver for sustainable actions, also community responsibility, which is, I think, biggest in industries such as chemicals and consumer goods, because they are really working in communities, are using resources of the communities, for example, water, but are also employing people in the community. So, of course, they can't pollute the immediate community. There we've also seen that, for example, the consumer goods industry especially has been really affected and this has really triggered also sustainable change by, for example, protests of these communities that they're working in. Another big one is, of course, also consumer demand, which is, for example, really impacting the metals industry, but actually indirectly. So, for example, consumer demand for less carbon-intensive cars that people would want their cars to be have less of a footprint. This is putting pressure on the car manufacturers, which in turn is putting a pressure on the metals industry. So it's kind of trickling down into these base industries. I think in the different industries, there are different stages. I think some industries are a little bit unaware or trying to ignore the issues. Others are currently at a point where they recognize that it's something that's important for the consumer or for people out there, and therefore they're changing their messaging, but not necessarily their business strategy. While other industries are really already acting and realizing that they have to act, that it's unavoidable that they must act.
So there's a significant drive and potential in the consumer goods, chemicals, and metals industries. But not all businesses have yet incorporated the subject into their strategy. I'd like to know what businesses need to do to integrate green planning into their decision-making process.
If we think about the type of KPIs that normally drive our supply chain decision-making, it'll usually be things like service level or costs. And what green planning is the incorporation of also sustainability KPIs in that decision-making. So that can be CO2 emissions or greenhouse gas emissions, energy usage, water usage, land usage, labor conditions. So it can basically any sort of ESG KPI, incorporating that into the decision-making. And in order for us to incorporate that in the decision making, we need to have reporting on those KPIs. We need to have this in the planning system. We need the planning, basically we need the digital twin to also know the environmental impact of your supply chain in order to also report back what the environmental impact of your individual plans are. And then green planning is incorporating that really also into your both basically long-term network design planning, but also short-term day-to-day operational planning.
Can you give an example of the results that can be achieved with green planning?
So one of my colleagues, Paul van Vuchelen, actually made a study into the metals industry and how that could work and what an impact that could have. And he was actually looking at more the day-to-day operational planning. So basically he studied at a typical metals company, what would happen if they were to incorporate, in this case, greenhouse gas emissions into their optimization? How could they reduce their overall emissions just by planning a bit more efficiently and a bit more differently? And what he saw was that if that were incorporated, the average metals company could actually save up to 18% of their greenhouse gas emissions without it really impacting their service levels. So that's really quite a lot. So a lot can be gained just by optimizing the way you plan really on a day-to-day level.
So green planning is essentially about reducing greenhouse gas emissions, or is there more?
Well, another big KPI in the metals industry besides greenhouse gas emissions and energy usage is actually, how much scrap you produce. But it's also in a way an indirect KPI because, of course, in order to produce all of this metal that ends as scrap, you invested a lot of energy and you produce a lot of carbon to produce it. So a very good measure on how sustainable your metals plant is how much scrap it produces. So really also optimizing for minimizing the amount of scrap and also reusing that scrap is also one of the big ways in which, optimized planning can really help. If you optimize your planning to minimize scrap, you can really also save quite a lot.
What is needed in order for businesses to be successful at green planning?
In order for green planning to really be successful in practice in a lot of the industries, we also need a culture change in how they kind of run their business. With the example I gave earlier with the metals industry, where we can save up to 18% by optimizing really our operational planning, what this would also mean is shifting from a make-to-order kind of business to a make-to-stock kind of business. So currently, the metals industry is very make to order. So the orders come in, they produce it. It's really dependent on that. While the more efficient way would be to have very long campaigns or have longer campaigns. So to produce the same product for a longer period of time, because you don't have to restart your machines. You don't have to cool them down and then heat them back up. So you're saving a lot of energy if you do that less frequently. But that would lead you to a make to stock kind of business model. So in order for green planning to really be effective, in order for these business decisions to actually be able to be made, we are going to need a culture shift. In this case, in the metals industry, but there will probably be similar culture shifts needed also in the other industries as well.
Besides the culture shift, what are the main challenges when implementing green planning within the supply chain?
I think you have similar obstacles to green planning as you normally have to supply chain planning. And that big one is data and digitization. You need to know the numbers. You need to have all of your information in one place. And in our case, this would be sustainability numbers. So you'd really need to know what are the emissions of your processes, how much energy is used by a certain machine to produce a certain product. You really need it also on the granularity in which you want to plan. Of course, what we're kind of looking into now is assuming that you have that data, but in an aggregated form, maybe we can break it down to the granularity that we need for planning. So this is something that we're currently looking into. But the big one is always data. So I think what is going to happen in the future is, especially as governmental regulations become stricter, sustainability KPIs will really also have to be measured in businesses. And they are already to some extent, but I think this will increase even more. So the big one is data and then incorporating that into the digital twin.
How does OMP promote green planning in the course of an implementation project?
What we are, of course, also seeing is that our customers also struggle a little bit with balancing these new-ish KPIs with traditional business KPIs and trying to find the way there. So how do you balance the environmental impact of a plan versus its cost effectiveness? And I think that is a new frontier. So I think businesses are really struggling with that right now because it's two very different things that you can't really put in comparison to one another. So this is also something that we're trying to investigate, is what is the best practice there? Like, what's the way to go? I think what we're seeing is incorporating shadow costs, for example, for your CO2 emissions or for your, in general, for the environmental impact of a plan. So really, so that really allows the comparison because you're basically giving it a price, you're giving it a cost, and then you can compare that to the numerical value of the actual cost. So that's one way to go about it. But this is also something we're investigating, what besides shadow costs can help kind of, and how to set those shadow costs and so on, and what else can help customers kind of balance those decisions. And this is also where advisory comes in, of course.
Why is it that some companies still hold off on integrating green planning? Is it because they don't have the right data on relevant carbon emissions? Or is it simply because they don't know the concept or don't see the potential benefits?
Both. I think it's a combination. I think the data isn't there because awareness isn't there. So I think you don't just need awareness, because I think a lot of businesses are just afraid to make the first step. They're afraid to be really the ones that then really incorporate it in their business, because they're afraid that it might harm them. Like, they know that in the long term, it's the way to go. But being the first one to do it, I think many fear might put them at a momentary disadvantage. So I think it's not just awareness. It's also a willingness to act. And I think that's maybe also where coordinated effort kind of comes into play. Like, I don't know, cooperations building in between businesses to all act at once so that nobody gets, so that nobody suffers all too much in comparison to the others.
Can the OMP community councils play a role in creating awareness and enabling alignment between companies?
Yeah, the OMP councils could really also just help set the standard, I think, and bring companies together to align on a vision, to act together, to hold each other and themselves accountable in a way. That could be a very important role of the OMP council.
So today we talked about green planning, which is the concept of integrating environmental considerations into the supply chain planning process. We learned that green planning provides opportunities to reduce carbon emissions in, for example, the consumer goods, chemicals, and metals industries. Some of the challenges that come with green planning include limited awareness of the potential, the possible need for a culture shift in a company, and the availability of relevant data to work with. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of OMP Tech Talk. We hope you'll join us again next time.